Thank you, choir. Again, it's good to see you this morning. I want you to open your Bible, if you will, this morning to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to continue walking in the Beatitudes, or as I have mentioned, I believe this is a picture of the normal Christian life. It's been my observation, and perhaps you've noticed it as well, that we really like to eat. I mean, we're Baptist and we're Americans and we're accustomed to things to eat. We like it. Someone said that annually we spend over $4 trillion on food. That's trillion with a T. That's a lot of money on food. About 5% of our money goes for snacks. How about that? That's $20 billion. It's amazing how that pocket change adds up, isn't it? Snacks. Hunger is an interesting thing. Have you ever been hungry before? I'm not sure I can't make that statement. I'll say this. For many of us, I'm not sure we've ever truly experienced hunger. Now, I've been hungry, but I don't know about real hunger. You know, right here in this county, there are people that go to bed every night who are hungry. They don't have anything to satisfy that hunger. But hunger is an interesting thing. Hunger or thirst really is a driving force in our life, isn't it? I mean, it gnaws at you when you're hungry. When you're hungry, your hunger demands to be satisfied, doesn't it? I mean, have you ever found yourself rummaging through the cabinets at night because you were hungry? You just got to get something. You skip a meal at lunch, and by supper time, what's the matter? You're hungry. You want something to eat. It's a driving force. It is what it is. Hunger or thirst is satisfied with nothing but what? But food or water. I mean, you offer a hungry man, here's a nice bouquet of flowers. Not real interested in that. Or you can say, hey, listen, here's some beautiful music to listen to. Not really interested in that either. How about, I want to tell you a real nice story. It's got a great storyline. That's really not what a man needs. Nothing but food will satisfy him. Nothing but food or water, if he's thirsty, will interest him. A hungry man or a thirsty man wants and seeks food. I mean, it's something that he is compelled to do. You don't have to give a speech to a hungry person to get them to eat. I mean, you don't have to be persuasive to encourage a person who is hungry or a person who is thirsty to eat or drink. And here's something else I noticed about myself. When I'm hungry, food tastes good. And water is refreshing when I'm hungry. Look at the picture of this guy out in the desert. Nice, isn't it? You know, I think that's probably what your mind would do if that's what you're going through in the desert. Let me do it this way. Just picture a person out in the middle of the desert. And they're sitting there, and their hands are upraised, and their head is upraised as well. All right, you see. What do you think's going on in his mind? I mean, well, there's a lot of things. You think he's addressing God? Well, how would he be addressing God in that picture? Do what? Send me some rain. I am so thirsty. I need my thirst to be satisfied. Maybe he's just crying out in frustration. Now look at the next picture. here's the guy out in the desert, and he is dying of thirst. And he just so happens he comes across a nice ice-cold bottle of water. Do you have to persuade this guy to drink that water? I don't think so. Do you see how he's reaching for it? I mean, he's going to give his very last ounce of energy to do what? To get that water. And I tell you what, even if that water had been sitting out there in the desert for a long time, and I can't understand why else it would be out there, been there for a long time, even if it was hot, that's what he wants. That's what he needs. That's what his body craves for. The man is thirsty. He's dying of thirst. He needs something to satisfy that. Interestingly enough, in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, well, we're down to verse number 6. And listen to how Jesus frames this. The man who is blessed, the man who enjoys that quality of life, that abundance of life, the man who has a certain contentedness with his life, the fullness of life, is the man who hungers and thirsts. And what is it that he hungers and thirsts for? What does the verse say? He hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Now remember, one of the things that Jesus is doing in the Beatitudes is taking on man-made righteousness versus the righteousness that's only found in Christ, only found in God. And he's already saying, he's going to say, we'll get to this later, but I mentioned it last week. He's saying to the people here, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. You won't be saved unless your righteousness is more than the Pharisees. And we talked about the fact that the Pharisees were very religious people, highly religious people. Now, when Jesus says here, blessed is the man who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, he's not talking about the righteousness of the Pharisees, is he? He's not talking about the righteousness that men want to present before God, that, hey, listen, I'm better than my neighbor. I do good things most of the time. I've never made trouble. I treat my dog pretty good. It's not that kind of righteousness that he's talking about here. He's talking about a righteousness that's found where? It's found in Christ. It's found in Christ. Now, it's interesting, in Matthew, there is the sense where the righteousness that is set forth there is that righteousness that is imputed or given to us because of the work of Christ on our behalf, where He dies for our sins and then He credits to our account His righteousness. By the way, is that enough righteousness to satisfy the law and the demands of God? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. In fact, that's the only righteousness that will satisfy the demands of the law and the demands of God. And He's given it to us through faith in the work of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise His name for that. But there's also the sense of righteousness in Matthew that talks about doing good, doing righteous acts, doing the things that we should do. Now think about it in that light. Blessed is the man who's going to enjoy the kind of life that God has designed for His children. The man who's going to have a quality of abundance, a blessedness, a contentedness in his life, is the one who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. There's both the aspect of hungering and thirsting for a righteousness that I cannot attain to. It's the hunger and righteousness that only God can give to me through Christ. And there's a hunger and a thirst for that. But there's also the hunger and thirst to do what's right. A hunger and a thirst to follow what God's will as revealed in His Word is given to us. There are other places in the Scripture where this same idea comes forth. In Psalm 42, verse 1, as the deer pants for streams of water. And some of you hunters may relate to the idea of here is a hunter pursuing, or maybe the dogs are pursuing, or the wolves are pursuing some carnivore that's after them. And the deer's been running, he's been running, fleeing from the danger, and he comes across a cool stream of water. And that's what he's been hoping for, that's what he's been looking for. He's got to have that to sustain him so that he can outrun the pursuers. As the deer pants for streams of water, here's what the psalmist says, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for the living God. In other words, this is not the picture of, you know, I just need to have me a little swallow and swish it around my mouth and that's going to be. No, this is a desperate search, a desperate thirst for God. In Psalm 63, verse 1, the Bible says, God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirst for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Again, think about the guy. There's no water in sight. He's thirsty for water. The psalmist says, that's the kind of thirst that I have for God. That is what I have for him. Psalm 143, verse 6 says, I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. You know, there are pictures of streams that have dried up or land where the rains haven't come and the ground is cracked open. It's barren. And yet it awaits, it looks forward to the, whether it's the monsoon or whether there's just a shower to bring about refreshing. And the psalmist is saying, my soul is that parched, it's that thirsty, it's that hungry, and it can only be satisfied in you. Can I give you some good news? Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 37. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The soul satisfaction in your heart and in my heart is only going to met in Jesus. And listen, isn't that wonderful? He says if you're thirsty for righteousness, if you're thirsty for a right relationship with God, come to me. There's where the hope is. There's where the satisfaction is. There's where the blessed life is found. It's found in Christ. He's the source of this abundance that he has for his children. The people in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 desire to be righteous. They want to do what's right. And listen, there's a longing even in their heart to see other people do things that are right and upright. You know, it's amazing sometimes we're harder on other people than we are on ourselves. But you know, some of the things that are going on in this blessed and this good nation that we live in, don't they trouble your heart? Don't they grieve your heart? Do you find in your own heart a desire for others to follow the ways of God? To seek Him? To obey Him? To order their lives in conjunction with His Word. Isn't there a hunger and desire for us to see that happen in this land? I mean, Pharaoh, let me pick on Pharaoh just a minute. You prayed this morning for a revival. You know, that revival is going to start in the church. It's not going to start out in the world. It's going to start in the church. But that means the church gets right with God, doesn't it? And then, what do we anticipate when the church of God, when the people of God get their hearts right and begin to pursue righteousness in this land, pursue righteousness in their individual life? We're all about those people getting their act together. But God puts the spotlight on our own hearts. We get our heart right. When others within the body of Christ get their heart right, we anticipate that is going to overflow even into the society that we live in. Or at least the society that we live in is going to see a true picture of what righteousness is, and they will either embrace it or they will hammer against it. Do you have a hungry or thirsty soul for God that would move you to action yourself? Here's what it looks like. Look at this other picture of this guy. You tell me, I like that right there. Now, I know that's a good-looking young man, but he's satisfied. Found the water. You know, you just think about it. The same guy in the desert with his hands outstretched. I have no hope. Oh, help me, help me, help me. And then there's the bottle of water. And he reaches and he gets it. And then now he's been replenished. He's been refreshed. He's found that what he was hungering for and what he was searching for was the answer for his life. Listen, in the physical body, that's true. In your soul, it's true as well. And the satisfaction for your soul is Jesus. It's Jesus Christ. Being in a right relationship with Him. With Him. This brings me to the point that if physical hunger is a driving force, so is spiritual hunger. So is spiritual thirst. If you and I are hungry or thirsty spiritually, it is a motivating and a driving force in our life. In fact, we're not content until it's satisfied. We pursue it. It demands to be satisfied in our heart. Do you have a driving desire to honor God? Do you find in your own heart a compelling, a gnawing to know Him more? Now, and I'm not saying we ever reach this point where we go, okay, man, I got all this whipped. No. Hunger and thirst is a continual thing, isn't it? In the heart of the believer, we are continuing to hunger and thirst for God. It gnaws at us. We're not content with where we are. We want to be closer to Him. I believe that's what the normal Christian life looks like. I believe that's what the normal, blessed Christian's life is like. There is a hunger, a thirst for God. And there's nothing that will satisfy the soul but spiritual food. That's one of the things that concerns me. We seek to satisfy our soul with things apart from Christ. The soul that hungers and thirsts for righteousness, that hungers and thirsts for God, is a soul that's saying, give me Christ or I die. It's just like the guy in the desert, I got to have something to drink or I'm going to die. And so that move and that compelling is in our heart as well. And hear me, we know that, right? Nothing but the living water of Jesus satisfies the spiritual thirst of man. Nothing but the bread of life of Jesus satisfies the hunger in the hearts of men and women for God. A person who is spiritually hungry or spiritually thirsty seeks food and water. You don't have to bribe them or persuade them to pursue those things. Now, I'm going to go off the record here. You know, one of the frustrating things is the amount of energy and time that we spend trying to persuade people to do the things that if they hungered and thirsted for God, that they would do naturally or supernaturally. We cajole, we encourage, we contact, we stay on top of folks. And listen, I'm not saying we don't need to do that. I'm just saying it's interesting to me. We're trying to encourage people to come be a part of a small group Bible study class, to come into a corporate worship time. And so we have to kind of encourage people to do that. And here's what churches do sometimes. Churches say, okay, well, we got to have a big splash. We got to have balloons and blimps, and we got to have high energy stuff or something like that to entice people. Now, my observation is simply this. If your soul hungers and thirsts for God, we don't have to be persuaded to seek Him. We don't have to be persuaded, oh, why don't you take a drink? Why don't you take a bite? There is a hunger in them. The people that we really need to be cajoling and trying to persuade to be in a small group Bible study or in a corporate worship service are those who don't know God, right? So that in hearing the truth, in hearing the claims of Jesus, there may be a thirst or hunger that arises in them, right? Because when that begins to happen in a human's heart, they want to pursue the satisfaction of that hunger and that thirst. And that's where Jesus says, if you're thirsty, come to me. Come to me. Spiritually hungry person wants meat. They don't want chicken soup for the soul. They don't want something superficial. They want what brings life. And that's the Word of God. You know, I wonder how many of us who are believers walk around without really any hunger or thirst for God, because we basically have taken the appetite away because we just nibble around the edges. Or we do the Benny Rowe. We do the Benny Rowe, Steve, and we're going to go for the dessert first. Because you don't know if I'm going to live long enough, and if I could go any moment now, I'm going to have the dessert first. And save the meat and potatoes for later. You know, I wonder if sometime our nibbling around the edges, just sort of being acquainted with spiritual things or being acquainted with the Word or listen, we show up and that's I wonder if sometimes we don't take away the appetite of hunger and thirst for God and for His Word. I'm just thinking. How about your own disciplines? Your own intake of the Word of God, your own intake of fellowship with other believers. Now, I realize I'm talking to folks who are here, right? Thank you for being here. But what I'm saying is all of these things, they whet our appetite for more. Are you finding that to be true in your own heart? That the Word is not just some exercise we go through. It's not just something we sit through, but it really does impact my spiritual soul. And I find my soul feeding on the Word of God, on the things of God. And my heart, my mind is consumed with God. And that more and more the things of this world, how's the songwriter say it? Will grow strangely dim. You know when the things of the world grow strangely dim? When we've turned our eyes on Jesus. And how are you going to get to know Him? How are you going to know about Him? Oh, my soul, there's that Word. There's that Word. A hungry man finds that the bread of life and the living waters of Jesus taste good to him. Let me remind you of what one of the Old Testament prophets said in Jeremiah chapter 15. He said it this way, "Your words were found, and I ate them." You know, picture the guy out there in the desert again, and now we don't have a bottle of water, we've got a loaf of bread. I found. Your words were found, and I ate them. And watch this. "And your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I've been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." I've been brought into a relationship with you. And you know what I find? That your words are tasty. Your words are health. I need you. Now think about what we've looked at in the Beatitudes so far in Matthew 5. There's sort of a progression here. that's becoming more and more clear to me as I play with these things. It begins with the man who's blessed is poor in spirit. Now that's in contrast to the Pharisees or others who are puffed up about their own self-righteousness. I tell you what, a self-righteous attitude dulls your appetite for God. You know why? Because you see yourself as adequate. I'm good enough. I've done enough. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus said, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's theirs. And then we move from there. All right, I understand that I don't have in myself righteousness that commends me to God. What is my heart response to that? Well, the second one, Jesus said, blessed are those who do what? Who mourn. This is not a flippant attitude about my sin. Because you see, flippancy, if that's a word, about our sin dulls our appetite. Because we justify our sin. Oh, it's no big deal. I mean, everybody does it. Everybody's doing it. Well, you know, I'll just tell God I'm sorry and no big deal. No, the attitude of the man who's blessed is the man who mourns over his sin. Why? Because it's my sin that caused my Savior to go to the cross. My sin is a big deal. And so in coming to Christ, that first entrance there is understanding I'm not adequate myself. I need righteousness. I need salvation. I need forgiveness. I'm poor in spirit. Oh, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, mourning over the sin. And then last time we talked about this blessed is the man, blessed are the meek. They'll inherit the earth. And one of the aspects of the meek person is the one who has submitted their will to God. Now think about that. In salvation, is that what happens? I come empty-handed before God. Oh God, I need your forgiveness. I need your provision. I'm mourning over my sin. And having experienced forgiveness, having experienced coming into a right relationship with Him, am I going to go my own stubborn way? No, there is a submission to the will and the ways of God. That's just a natural overflow. And it only makes sense then that we come to this one. Having submitted myself to the will and the ways of God in becoming a Christian, now my heart attitude is a hungering and a thirsting for that. This is not a dry, no big deal. This is a part of my This is a part of the desire of my heart. My soul yearns to be right with God. I've been made right with God. Oh, great. Now my soul yearns to do what is right. And listen, there's a yearning in us because we don't do that perfectly, do we? We are a project. We're in process. But I tell you, we'll never make any progress until our soul hungers and thirsts for God. How about your soul today? What's the state of your soul today? Do you find in yourself a recognition that, hey, listen, the only righteousness that I claim, the only righteousness I stand in, is the righteousness that's been given to me through Christ Jesus. And my sin matters because of what it did to my Savior. And I willingly, as an act of my will, I submit to God, even when it goes against my own inclination. I submit to the ways and the will of God. Because you see, there's this hunger in me. There's a thirst in me to pursue Him, to pursue righteousness, and to do what's right and honor Him in that way. Listen, that's a picture of the normal Christian life. Anything less than that, we say there's a problem. That's not the way God has designed us. You know what dulls the hunger and thirst for God in our souls? It's the junk food we feast on. I'm not talking about the snacks. I'm talking about just the snippets of things that Facebook or the internet or a church sign or any of those kind of things, that's enough for me today. Turn or burn. Okay, well, good. I got that one down. The Christian vitamin, B1. Okay, that's all I need. I'm good to go. Listen, that does not give hunger and thirst for God. Only the meat of the Word of God does. So how are you doing in those disciplines? Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Have you come to Christ to drink? All right, now let me ask you. Do you understand this? Do you see it? Do you understand? I mean, do you wrap your mind around it? Do you understand it? And let me ask you a second question then. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about this? Do you find in your own heart this morning a genuine interest? Or if you were honest with yourself, a genuine disinterest? So what? Or do you find that God uses the Beatitudes even, the picture of what it is to be a normal Christian, and you find, hey, listen, that's what I want. I want to experience more of that. I want a hungering and a thirsting after God and after doing what's right. I desire that. How do you feel about that? Well, there's another question, though. And it's this one. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about what we have talked about this morning? I mean, again, if your attitude is disinterest, then you're going to say, well, I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm not going to do anything with that. But if you're interested, if your energies are piqued, what are you going to do? Are you going to continue in the same patterns that you've been to this point that haven't satisfied that thirst? Remember, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. End result is what? They'll be what? Yeah, they'll be filled. They'll be satisfied. There will be abundance there. But you know what? We got a hunger and thirst. And you know where a good place to start is? In that Word. In that Word. Some of you are reading through the through the Bible with us this year. That's good. But listen, you aren't reading through that to say, check, I did my Bible reading today. Check, I read through the Bible this year. No, you're doing that because there's where the food for your soul is found. How are you going to do from this point on about being engaged in small group Bible studies that go on in this place? How are you going to do in your own personal life? Listen, I know there are 1,000 things that could keep somebody away on a Sunday. I know that. But I also know that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are going to be pursuing it. And there's nothing that's going to satisfy their heart. It's not a church service. It is the Word of God. It's not being with other believers, as important as that is for our growth as a believer and the motivation and encouragement to come alongside somebody and help. Yeah, that's good. But you know, we come and we sing songs that speak of our God. And sometimes we sing songs that are right out of the Scripture that say things like, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We just turn that on its head. We want to seek all the stuff that we want, all the stuff that's out there, and then think that righteousness will be added to us. I think Jesus, as He's talking to His disciples, as He's talking to you and me today, is saying, hey, listen, understand where the blessed life is. Where the normal Christian life is, where that contentedness and blessedness is found in Christ and in Him alone. Now, you may be here today and you may have never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, is God working in your heart this morning? Do you feel a need in your own heart to be right with God? How kind God would be to awaken that in you, to open your eyes that have been blinded to His truth and say, you know, I see that. I understand that. And for your heart to desire. Listen, here's how you come. You come to Jesus just like that publican, just like that guy in the desert. You raise your hands and say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Save me by your grace. I know I'm not fit on my own. I believe God answers the prayer of repentance in the heart and mind of a person. Maybe that's you this morning. It may be that you've been a believer for some period of time. You know, maybe you're walking in fellowship with God, and yet, you know, even as we talk about these things, you say, you know, oh, that's what I want. Man, I want a hunger and a thirst for God, and I want to be satisfied. Well, Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come to Him. Well, we're in a constant pursuit of knowing Him and then making Him known to others. Let's be faithful in doing that, shall we? Stand with me and let's pray.